Thanksgiving and Singing is the title of today's exhortation, taken from Numbers chapter 21, verse 10 to 20. Two thoughts for our consideration. Firstly, provision from the Lord, verse 10 to 16. And secondly, rejoicing with thanksgiving. Rejoicing with thanksgiving. These are the two thoughts for our meditation. As we think here of a most fitting picture that is given of the Israelites that are there in the wilderness journey, how the Lord had been good to be with them and help them and make provision for them in a time where they would be able to see, or they may be able to see there in the wilderness, that there was nothing that is available. And so we thank the Lord that how he makes provision for his people by his grace, and grant to us indeed peace. As we think about God's care for his people, we that his care for his people is unchanging, and that we can rely on him, we can trust him to make for us and help us along life's pathway. Israelites, you would be able to, they were in the wilderness, and it was there that they learned of God in their life, because there was nothing that they could hold on to, in the sense that nothing, in a sense, we say nothing works in the wilderness. They are in a land of barrenness, and as they walk through the land of barrenness, takes care of them in the most marvelous way, in order that they may see the precious presence of God with them. And so here, as you look at verse 17, you see how Israel sang this song at the place called Beer, or the word Beer means well. God led them to places where there was provision of water. Right? In a dry land, when you have water, it's life itself. Right? It's life itself. And the people sang to the Lord in thanksgiving how the Lord took care of them. And it is a wonderful picture of God's grace in the life of his people, and is very much contrasted with what we have been seeing in the life of the Israelites in terms of their dissatisfaction with the providence of God, with the provision of God for wilderness journey. And so we are at the tail end of the wilderness journey after more than 38 years of them in the wilderness. And here we are given a picture. Of hope, where we learn to rest in the Lord, we learn to trust the Lord, we learn to wait upon God, we learn not to run our own race, our own way, but rather we learn to let God lead and be willing to be led by Him. And so this is a picture that is given to us here of God taking care of His people. And as we think about what Jesus says to the disciples, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you." In Matthew chapter 6, you would be able to see how the Lord words are so true, because the people of God were wandering, right? And the Lord knew what was in their hearts. The Lord says, "I will take care of you. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add unto his stature one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how shall He much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" A passage that we will learn to highlight to you, to show you how the Lord indeed is taking care of His people more than in all ways. And the people of God need to understand and need to be able to see what He was doing for them. And so the wonderful supply which God blessed His people at Beer signifies a well or a fountain. When they pitch in Oboth, signify bottles, and where they filled their bottles with water, which would last them for some time. But this time, Matthew Henry said, we may suppose as it was with them, as it was with Hagar. The water was spent in the bottle, yet we do not find that they murmured. Therefore God, in compassion to them, brought them to a well of water, to encourage them to wait on Him in humble silence and expectation, and to believe that He would graciously take cognizance of their wants, though they did not complain of them. That's a very wonderful attitude that you see in this short passage that the people of God ought to cultivate and have in their relationship with God. Right? Would God do them harm? Of course God will not. God will just do them good. And when they understood this, and they are willing to wait for Him, that's where He shows them, "Hey, look there. Dig there. Look, there is the well. Just go to that place. And there you see the water gushing out." Wow. How could they and how would they know if God had not directed them? We see that they were in the wilderness where everything is in shortage, where everything is in jeopardy. Today, if you go to the Keppel Harbour or the Keppel area, you see the place where all the containers would bring you. If you go to up to Mount Faber, you'll be able to see, and you'll be able to see the container port. That's where all the ships would load all their cargoes, and this is where all the cargoes would be transported to the provision shops, to the shopping malls, to the supermarkets, to the various places to fill up the stores. You realize that there is a process, we said a supply chain, by which we are provided, but we are also seeing how the supply chain is much challenged in this time and age. So what will be the response for the people of God when you are unable to get those things that you thought you would have ordered and that would have come? They didn't come. Well, we say that we trust the Lord. In all the seasons of life, the Lord will take care. The Lord will take care. And so, as you think about it, as you look at the way by which God provided for the children of Israel, we want to put a mental note and have a mental picture deeply imprint in our heart, the kind of godly attitude and response to God's presence and provision in our lives. And as you look at it in verse 17, right, you see Israel sang a song unto the Lord. Why did they sing? Because they were happy. They sang because they learned to trust the Lord. They learned to rejoice in the Lord. You remember when the Apostle Paul and his mission team was imprisoned in the city of Philippi after they preached the gospel? They were bitten with stripes and they were cast into prison. And there in the prison cell, they sang. How could they sing in the midst of affliction? How could the people of Israel sing in the wilderness when there was nothing in the outlook to be glad about? That's right. So you see that there is a change, you see, or there is that window of change, and there is a window of godly response that we can learn from. Not many portions we can. Many portions we see there were much murmuring and complaining, but here you would see how they were willing to wait on the Lord, how they were willing to humble themselves and in silent expectation believe that God would take care of them. And indeed, so God has a will and purpose for us in our lives. As we seek to glorify Him daily in our walk, would He not take care of us? Surely He will take care of us. Would there be suffering? Would there be pain? Would there be troubles and distress? Lots of it. Lots of it. That's the picture of the people of Israel in the wilderness. That's the picture of Paul. Well, the people of Israel have understood, in the sense, you see, the old generation has passed on. This is a new generation. This is a new generation that has arisen. Of course, you look at the group, there were varied response, right? By the time we come here, you remember the last week we were, Israel was bitten by snakes, right? They were so unhappy with the Lord, that the Lord sent, removed the hedge to allow the wilderness to engulf them. That's where the poisonous snakes begin to invade the camp. Right. Well, because the Lord wanted, they did not realize that their safety and their provision and their well-being was all from the Lord. And so when we don't understand and we give a, well, we said an ungodly response, right. God provided us the way, right? God said to Moses, you make a bronze serpent and you raise it up so that all who were bitten by the poisonous snakes can look at it and find healing. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave this same illustration to describe his own passion and crucifixion, where he would be consigned to the cross to bear the sins of the people, where the snake or the serpent will be defeated at the cross. Christ himself will suffer. And as we think about our suffering, well, let us think of what Christ did for us, how he suffered in order to redeem us, how he suffered so that the wages of sin, which is death, not just physical death and eternal death, will not come upon us. And so there is the picture of redemption that is being painted there earlier, from verse 1 to 9, which we saw last Wednesday. And here in verse 10 to 20, we see the happy state of the redeemed, right? Having our sins washed by the blood of Christ, redeemed by him, we live in a satisfied, contented state to follow him, to wait upon him, to expect good from him. And indeed, God gave an earthquake when they were singing, right? And all the doors of the prison opened, but they did not run away. The prison keeper was astounded, and he was so afraid, because if all the prisoners would run away, he would have to be accountable for the prison run. He would be of great suspect why the prisoners were released, although he was it was not him, right? It was God who sent the earthquake. But Paul says to him that we are all here, do not be anxious, we are not running away. And that's where he realized that he's on holy ground, and he realized that why Paul and his mission team did not run away, because they were there on God's mission to give them the message of reconciliation. So the Philippian jailer accepted the message, and the Philippian jailer was gloriously saved together with his family. They were all baptized. How happy it is for the people of God to have understood the way of salvation, and having our sins cleansed as we come in confession and repentance, fully submitted, fully committed to the Lord, and how the Lord does bless His people so abundantly, right? There at Beersheba, they were being blessed. There they were being blessed with a fountain, the water that came out of the well, and that's where they saw the Lord's provision for them. And verse 18, the princes digged the well and the nobles digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. So there, it was there that the Lord showed them where the water fountain, where the water source is, and it was there that they were satisfied. And Matthew Henry says, hitherto we have found when they were supplied with water, they asked it in unjust discontent, and God gave it in just displeasure. But here we find that God gave it in love. Gather the people together to be witnesses of the wonder and the joint sharers in the favor, and I will give them water. And so before they prayed, God granted and anticipated them with the blessings of His goodness. And so as we think about it, what was the response of the people in verse 17? It was joy and thanksgiving. There was joy and thankfulness, which made the mercy doubly sweet to them. They sang this song to the glory of God and the encouragement of one another. Spring up, O well. Thus they pray that it may spring up, for promised mercies must be fetched in by prayer. They triumph that it does spring up and meet in it with their joyful acclamations. With joy must we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And so as you think, as we mentioned, how the Lord took care of them, this is a picture of not just physical water, as Jesus would put it to the woman at the well in Samaria, that I would give you living water that would flow and provide you with life, eternal life, life that would satisfy you. And so here you see a contrast that whereas before the remembrance of the miracle was perpetuated in the names given to the places which signified the people's strife and murmuring, now it was perpetuated in a song of praise which preserved on record the manner in which it was done. They dig the well, the 70 elders, it was probable by direction of the lawgiver, that is Moses, under God, with their staves, that is with their staves they made holes in the soft and sandy ground, and God caused the water miraculously to spring up in the holes which they made. Thus the pious Israelites, long afterwards, passing through the valley of Baca, a dry and thirsty place, made wells, and God by rain from heaven filled the pools. Psalm 84 verse. Water in the you have to open the hearth to get this sharp to be able to slice the core of the coconut in order to the water that is inside, and how refreshing it is, and how refreshing it is, how
how satisfying it is to the taste. So the people of Israel, the nobles, they set their hands to the work and use their staves, and the Lord miraculously supplied them. The Lord provided for them. It was a comfort that came upon them, that they saw that indeed God is so good and so real and so present with them. Thank God for the wonderful picture of contentment of God's people, rejoicing in thanksgiving, the leading of God in their life. Yes, and a godly attitude. We shall continue again next year with the rest of the book of Numbers after verse 20 of Numbers 21. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit and grant to us Thy peace and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank Thee for His love for us, having died for us, now interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. So Lord, help us to rejoice in our present state of blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.